extolling or praising our all-caring God is the title of tonight's devotion, and we have three thoughts for our meditation. His redemptive care, verse 1 to 6, His provisional and protective care, verse 7 to 14, and His instructive care, verse 15. It is observed, the God of Israel is set forth in His peculiarity of glory as caring for the sorrowing, the insignificant, and forgotten. CH Spurgeon. Do you feel some time in your life where you are sorrowing and seeking to find solace in your heart? Where you feel that you have been neglected and you seek to find significance in life, and you felt that you have been forgotten? Does God forget His children? Of course not. God does not forget His children. And we see here in this psalm a proposition to the people of God that we have a God who truly extends Himself to His people. And this is all we need. If we have the Lord, we do not need anything else, because He alone is sufficient to satisfaction for all the things that we would need in life. And so we want to think of this thought, that how He has provided for us, how He has extended Himself to us, how He has reached out to us, and how we are grateful for what God has done for us. And that is why the psalmist comes to God with a great thought of thanksgiving. And he comes to God extolling the attributes and qualities of God. That's important for us to know who He is and what He is and what He has done for us in our lives. This is what the psalmist is doing here, extolling God because He has been with us, helped us in a very personal way. God's people, Israel, were wayward. They went after idols, and God had to deal with them after their sins, even after repeated warnings by God's prophets to awaken them from their spiritual adultery. They were unrepentant. The Babylonians were sent to destroy Jerusalem. God's people were exiled from the promised land for 70 years. It was a time of great sorrow. By the rivers of Babylon, and there they hung their willows, you know, they have no more voice, as it were, to sing, because they were far away from home. Land, their home has been desolated. Where is home? God's people were exiled. It was a time of great sorrow. But God brought them back to the land again during the time of the Persian king Cyrus, through a decree. And Nehemiah, you remember the man Nehemiah, the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, he was tasked by God to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And when he had finished the building, rebuilding of the walls in 52 days, 53 days, it was a great rejoicing. They had a sword in their hand, and they had the trouble on the other hand, one hand to build, one hand to defend. And the enemies were lurking, waiting to devour them. Many times letters were sent to Nehemiah to ask him, please come, please come. They wanted him to be shifted from his focus of building the walls of Jerusalem. And finally, the walls were built, the gates were restored, the people were resettled, the temple was rebuilt. There was a great assembly that was gathered for celebration, for dedication. Nehemiah chapter 12 described this great event. And as we think about what God has done in our lives, we want to come to praise Him and to think about what God had done for us in our own lives. Thanksgiving is a fitting, appropriate, as we come to this week of Thanksgiving. We thank the Lord that we can be thinking about what He has done for us. So His redemptive care, verse 1 to 6. Praise ye the Lord, the psalmist says, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Of course, when we read this psalm, we can think of the context in terms of the return from exile. They were outcasts, and then they came back. Or we can also think, as some commentators saw, that God gave Jerusalem to Israel. They belonged to, at that time, to the Jebusites. And David, together with his men, they came and God gave them Jerusalem. And it became the capital for Israel. It was right in the border, place where they would be able to strategically place their capital for the whole land. And verse 3 says, He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. Wow, that's very powerful, a very powerful statement. To heal the broken in heart. The broken in heart is devastated. You have a broken heart. It is not easy to mend back. It's just like a piece of glass. If you have broken a piece of glass before, you drop the glass on the floor, and everything shattered into small pieces. How to bring it back again? Almost an impossible task. But here it is seen that we have a God that is able to heal the broken in heart. The heart is the most mysterious, greatest mystical object in the human psyche or the human body. The heart. And here we said that we have a God who healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. They were wounded, but how, you know, if you meet a good first aider when you are injured, you find that that good first aider will be able to help you clean your wounds and clean your wounds, and then you will be able to apply the medication, and then, you know, with a clean environment, you find that the wound would heal itself quickly. I remember during about 2 years ago, this week or this week, we remember Elder To Siang Yao, his home going 2 years, and several months when he was in the hospital, we recall how there was a wound on the lips, and it was bleeding, and it is spreading. And how, thank God, we have a helper who was so gentle and caring, was able to apply the clean cloth to wipe, and you know, within 2 days or so, we went to see if it was gone. You know, wow, we were all shocked to say that how could it be possible? It was the skin was tearing itself already, and now it's healed. We thank the Lord for what He could do, binding up their wounds. He tells us the number of the stars. He calleth them all by name. Why? Because He was the one who made them. He knows the number of stars in the galaxies, in the universe, because He makes them. We lose count. But He doesn't. He's able to even count the number of hairs in our head. That's how infinite He is, infinitely powerful He is. Right? The psalmist says, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. The Lord lifted up all who will do His will. Who are the meek? The meek are those who would choose to do the will of God, to follow the commandments of God, to do the things of God. Here we see how God's people were described as outcasts, broken in heart, wounded, but precious. He called them by their name, meek. They are His own. And God is described as one whose great power redeemed outcasts, the broken in heart, the wounded of His people. This is the loving character of God. The help, to help the helpless, the help to the helpless, the Savior to the powerless, the one who strengthened the despondent. Jesus demonstrated this character. We see while He was on earth, the compassion of God. Jesus went about all the villages or cities, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. There is a moving inside Him. He could feel as if He could read. You know, we can't read hearts. We don't really know, right, how the other person may be feeling in the heart. But Jesus, able to read the hearts, able to see, you know, the sorrows that are in the heart. So imagine the Savior coming to earth and able to, what you are thinking in your mind now, Jesus is able to clearly read them off His mind. Wow, what power. And you know, He knows what is going on in your heart. He sees the sadness, He sees the joy, He sees the need. And He came because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Indeed, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Indeed, we don't know God, except God would manifest Himself to us. And God did manifest Himself to us in the coming of His Son. Christmas is coming. We are going to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a historic event. The Savior of the world came in the flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness that is that has mystic the world. But when we were able to see it and receive it by faith, wow, what glory. The wise men came from the east, bringing all the rich gifts, kneel before the Lord, worship Him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He is the King of the universe, coming in a swaddling clothes as a baby. Wow, we cannot imagine what God had to do to save us. This redemptive care of God for His people through His Son. He saved them from their sins. He came and was born in a manger, animal sty, in a most dirty, a most inappropriate place for a baby to be born. Christ was born there. And how that was the beginning for us of a possibility for redemption. He was there, humbling, restoring, uplifting His people as they learn how to live like Jesus. Verse 1 says, and so the psalmist explains to us that praise is comely. You have experienced God in your life, what God has done for you, then praise is most appropriate. There is that sweetness, that pleasantness that warms the heart each time the psalmist gives thought to the gracious acts of God in his life and those of Israel. Do you thank God? Of course we do. We praise God for all that He has done for us. We can see Him coming to us. We can see Him speaking to us when we are downhearted, when we are despondent. He comes to us in such great way, speaks to us in such mysterious way. And yet you know that He's there. What mystery, what supernatural power manifested, you cannot but attribute it to God. You cannot but attribute it to God. I recall recently the Lord sent a verse to us, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10, to comfort and strengthen our hearts. Isaiah 41:10 reads like this: Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can you imagine how God comes to us with His word? And He comes so directly to us, we cannot but see it flagging in front of us through our very eyes, and to signal His presence with us. So we are privileged. That's what the psalmist is saying. Come, praise is comely, most appropriate. There is that understanding of the presence of God in the psalmist's life. Although in that time when the psalm was written, Messiah has not come. But God is no less active, working out His redemptive plan for His people through Israel before the fullness of time. And the psalmist saw the good hand of God binding the brokenhearted, healing the wounded, restoring the weak. Today, we look backward in time to the Messiah. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ has come, and that we have a rich store of heavenly treasure of the life of Christ for our comfort and for our encouragement. And the Lord wants us to appropriate all of this in our hearts so that our hearts will be so warm, right? That, you know, we have that strength to live life. Right? Verse 2 to 4. Jerusalem was rebuilt from its ruins. God restored worship in Jerusalem. After 70 years of captivity, God restored Israel to the land on the 14th of May 1948. After 2,000 years of diaspora, Israel today as a nation does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the Bible tells us the time will come when all Israel shall be saved. Jesus shall rule from Jerusalem. Remember last Sunday we were looking at the prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. And we saw how the eyes of Scripture, how God's kingdom is going to come. How Christ is going to, in a literal sense, rule on earth for 1,000 years. And how His saints are going to rule with Him. And the Lord wants us to appropriate and understand what God is doing. These are real things, physical things that would happen. We said that the lamb and the lion will be able to live. The world is the earth is going to be transformed. And the Lord wants us to know that a time is coming when the world is going to be restored. We ask ourselves, why did God give us 6,000 years of redemptive history for us to see the misery, the sorrow, and for us to understand, you know, when we have it, God with us, how we need to cherish it, because we have looked backward to those misery and we said, no, before we come to Christ, we know we were lost, we were very lost. But after we have been saved, we know we have been saved. We are very saved, you know. In a sense, God has done great things for us. And we are grateful. So the psalmist comes to tell us that indeed God has done what He has done. And here, as we think about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and you see how Israel came back to the land again. 1948 1967, Jerusalem became a part of Israel. 1948 1967 we are 2017 2018. What is God doing? Well, will God rebuild His temple? Told that all that is needed to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem are all in place. Is prophetic scripture going to be fulfilled in our lifetime? We know that during the tribulation time, the great tribulation time, the Antichrist will arise and he will desecrate during the midpoint of the great tribulation, the temple. The tribulation temple that is in Jerusalem. We said that we are living in momentous times, and that prophetic history is fulfilling itself quickly before our eyes. Romans 11, 24 to 26, the Apostle Paul urges that the church do not write off Israel, but Jesus will return and establish His millennial rule on earth, 1,000-year rule on earth, and Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Romans 11, 24 to 26, Paul says, For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which shall be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentile becoming, until God has perfected His plan of redemption to bring in Gentile converts. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jerusalem restored. As you think of it, wow, you see prophetic scriptures fulfilling itself before our very eyes. Verse 5 to 6. The psalmist tells us that God's power to discern hearts and distinguish evil from good must cause us to live righteously. If we sin, our prayers will not be heard. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear our prayers. The Lord wants us to live a life that is according to His will, that we may do His will, we may experience His blessings. The Lord said to us, and for us to consider what He is doing for us, His redemptive care for His people. Here, verse 6 says, the Lord lifted up the meek, the people of God, afflicted, who trust in the Lord, who continue to pray. And would God not hear our prayer? Would God not answer and bless His people? He certainly will. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come, shall He find faith on earth? It begs the question. The answer is no. Faith will be a rare commodity in these days. And the Lord wants us to exercise faith. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. When we do not pray, we will faint. When we pray, God sustains us. And God's grace comes to strengthen us. So here is described for us His redemptive care in our lives. From verse 7 to 14, His provisional and protective care. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So, you know, it's not just singing praises, but sing with an instrument. You'll find, you know, an instrument of praise is a good accompaniment to praise. The sweet melody of music. We've just distributed our piano MP3 to all of us during our Reformation services. How wonderful these hymns that are being played. Every time, you know, you play, because we have been listening to the hymn, we've been studying the hymns. So when the music comes, straight away the words, you know, appear in your mind. And you praise God. With the music, you are able to just sing along. Because you know the words, they are in your heart. You're able to make those melodies. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds. Verse 8 is a description of God's care, His general providence. You see how God takes care of His populated earth, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Recently we see the season of flowering all over in our streets here. The flowers align and the leaves turning from green to yellow to red. So beautiful. The Lord brings all these scenes before us. He giveth to the beast his food, to the young ravens which cry. Jesus says, behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? Sometimes we think, you know, not that we are alone in our struggle through life. We are not alone. The Lord is with us. And we said that if you have the Lord, you have everything. If you have everything and you are without the Lord, it's like you have nothing. But if you have the Lord and you have nothing, nothing of this world, well, the Lord says you have everything. And you have everything of this world, but the Lord is not with you, then you have nothing. That's the reality of it. Of which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are ye anxious concerning raiment? Raiment means what you wear. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of this. The Lord giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Well, God does not look at these things, because he's the one who empower all these things. Not the chariots. Men are not to look at the chariots and the horses. But look to God. Hope in God. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Zion is where the worship of God takes place. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Does God not provide for his people? Of course, he provides for his people. He not only provides for them, but he also protects them. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gate. And here it is said to us that God secured the city of Jerusalem against aggressors. How did they do that? Well, you remember during the time of Nehemiah, he was cupbearer, and how he heard the news from his brother that Jerusalem is in ruins. How he was so sad. He prayed for a period of time, and we said that the word for prayer is the word war builder, literal in the Hebrew, war builder. How did he build? Well, he prayed. And in the fullness of time, God sent him, and they built. And when the wall was up, it became a great fortification against the enemy. God protected his people. Indeed, as we study Israel's history, we see that it is God who raises Israel's enemies. It is God who protects them. It is also God who raises his enemies. You know, during the time of the judges, right, how Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forget the Lord their God and serve Baalim, and the groves, and the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and he sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. How when Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer of the children. The provisional protective care of God, 7 to 14, and God's instructive care, verse 15 to 20. He sends forth his commandment upon the earth, and his word runneth very swiftly. And all the things that happen, the movements upon earth, comes by the commandments of God. God said, and it happens. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hair frost like ashes. God works according to who he is. He revealed himself to us through his word. The power of his word. Today we were studying in the morning the beginning of Israel's judicial system. How did it take place? Well, you know, as a nation, they were faced with many physical challenges. No food, no water. And then they had enemies who came to attack them. Vicious enemies attack them from the rear, where it's the women and children. The enemies came and attacked them. And they had to defend themselves against all these things. And then you see how there was a need for a law in Israel. How to govern the relations one with another in the land. God gave the law. Moses was asked to mete out the law. And when we practice, obey the laws of God, and how his judgments are so fair, so equitable. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 9. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, which hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Israel trusted in the oracles of God. Verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. My God has not instructed any other nation except the nation of Israel. God gave his laws. We have just begun studying and end of chapter 18 of Exodus, 19 to 24, six chapters. God will give the laws that will govern the land, and how, you know, God gave that judicial system whereby there would be order in the lives of his people. What great laws he gives, and what peace it comes to his people. And we thank the Lord that we have his word, and we need to continue to take time to study so that his word may be hidden in our heart and be lifted out, right, when we are able by his spirit to understand and then to apply it. So the psalmist tells us that we have an all-caring God worthy of our praise. He instructs us to meditate upon his redemptive care, his provision and protective care, and his instructive care for our lives. May we extol our God with all our hearts, as the psalmist did. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, thank thee for thy mercy upon us, thank thee for instructing us that we are not orphans in this world, that we have a loving Father in heaven who takes care of all our needs. Lord, we are blessed indeed. We are not orphans. We are not forsaken. Yes. We are not desolate. Lord, we have thee with us. Yes. We want to thank thee. And we want to praise thee. For indeed, we are lonely without thee. But we thank thee that you are with us. So Lord, may thou comfort our, strengthen our hearts. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.